So today is the Arizal's yard site. The Arizal's Chilula, fifth day of Menachem Av. We do something from the Parsha. And we're also going to study some of the Torah, the teaching of the Arizal. So at the end of the first reading of Parshas and Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, he begins to bless the Jewish people. In chapter 1, verse 9, he says, I can't handle all this myself. And the way Rashi explains it, you're an extraordinarily blessed person. Some people begin Sheni at verse 11. That's not our custom. The reason they do that is because they don't want to start reading with the words Echa, which Echa has an allusion to the Lamentations of Jeremiah. But to us, it's not our custom. We don't read Echa in the tune of Echa. And we start, the original custom was that the second reading begins from verse 11. And in it, in verse 11, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the verse prior, it says, Hashem alikechem hir beschem. God has made you very, very great. V'hinchem ayeim kechech v'ashmayim l'reiv. He has made you or placed you as the stars, the constellations in the heavens. And then Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people. Hashem alikei aveisechem, the Lord, God of your fathers, Yosef aleichem kechem. He should add to you, elef pa'amim, 1,000 times. V'yivarech eschem, and he should bless you, ka'asher dibur lechem, as He has spoken to and of you. So Rashi says, Yosef aleichem kochem elef pamin. God should bless you 1,000-fold, 1,000 times more. What does this mean? Mahu shuv, if God is blessing you 1,000 times, Moshe Rabbeinu blesses with 1,000 blessings, so then why does he say, V'yivarech eschem, and he will bless you, ka'asher dibur lechem. So Rashi says, Mahu shuv v'yivarech eschem. The first blessing is pretty impressive. 1,000 blessings. And then why does he say, and may he bless you as he spoke to you? Elo. So rather, this is the way it has to be understood. Even though this reads as one sentence, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, saying, God bless you 1,000 times, and he should bless you as he spoke to or of you. Actually, there is a little bit of conversation here. There's a give and take. And what happened is, Amrulai, in the middle of this sentence, what happened is that the Jewish people said, Moshe, Ata Noisein, Kitzva Lebecheseinu. You're giving, start with the Chumash, this is an addition. You're giving a limit to our blessings? What's up with 1,000? That's all we get is 1,000 blessings? Why are you limiting our blessings? Kvar Eftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, God already gave a blessing to Abraham, our first father, that he said that I'll place your progeny as the dust of the earth. Asherem yuchal ish limnes, that nobody can count the granules of soil. Nobody can count the pieces of sand. So just like nobody can count the pieces of sand, so too nobody will be able to count our blessings. And here you're blessing us with 1,000 blessings. It's a lot of blessings, but it's totally countable. So why would you limit that? Why would you put a number? Amar lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu responded to them, Zoi Mishalihi. This is for me. This is my blessings. This is what I can give you. I give you 1,000 blessings. Aval who? But God, who is infinite and omnipotent. Yivarech eschem kasher dibalechem. He will bless you as he can, as he has spoken of you. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, God blesses us with infinite blessings, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives us finite blessings. And Moshe Rabbeinu's finite blessings are 1,000 blessings, 1,000-fold. God will bless you as he spoke to you. So there are many questions that come to mind when we learn this Rashi. And chief amongst them is, okay, so if Moshe Rabbeinu can only give 1,000 blessings, so then why did he bother giving 1,000 blessings? Why bother giving his blessings altogether? If God blesses us with infinitude, so be it. And also, why 1,000? What was the limitation of 1,000? Why could he only bless us 1,000 times? So there's a number of different explanations that I want to share with you. And then I want to review a teaching of the Arizal in honor of his Hilula, and we'll conclude this with an amazing teaching from the Rebbe. So the Baal HaTurim seems to speak here about the concept of the blessings that we actualize. And he says that there's this notion that David HaMelech introduced the concept of 100 blessings a day. And he says, Ma HaShem Alekech HaShel Mi'imach, what does God ask for you? And he came to Yira that you should revere God. So the Gemara tells us that the David HaMelech was presided over a nation that was at the time racked with illness and people were dying, and he figured out Ma Hashem Alikecha should not be read as Ma, what, but rather Ma should be Mea. God asks of you 100, that you should bless God 100 times. So the Baal Turim says something to the effect of that Moshe Rabbeinu magnified this blessing of 100 times, times 10. So 100 blessings times 10, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to multiply this, and that's why you end up with the concept of 1,000 blessings. The Panim Yafis says something fascinating. We already learned when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midas, with the 13 attributes of God's mercy, that Meruba Mida Toiva, that a good measure is 500 times greater. So if there's something negative, there's 500 times the volume of positive. That means for every curse, the blessing will be 499 times greater. And that's why God says that he'll punish for Shileshim V'ribeim, for the next generation, and then a fourth generation. However, God says that the goodness will be kept for 2,000 generations. In other words, there's this notion of everything gets multiplied by 500 times. So he says, if everything is multiplied by 500 times, and that's the notion of Mida Teva, that's a good measure. Multiplication times 500, what would you call that in the accounting language? When you multiply something by 500 times? They're called squaring it?
No. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, Rabbi.
Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about either. Huh? 500 dot squared, like that's like 100 or something. Anyway, at any rate.
Squaring is by itself.
Squaring is by itself? There's something that doubles by 10. Anyway, it does not have a mathematical equivalent or any accounting principle, but the notion is that Mida Toiva is Pi Chomesh Meish. It's 500 times greater. So Moshe Rabbeinu received the blessings of God twice. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to destroy the Jewish people, twice, he said to Moshe, E'escha l'goy gadol, I'll make you for a great nation. So God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the possibility of being the father, the ancestor of a great nation. Moshe Rabbeinu took these blessings, what if you want to call the blessings or empowerments from God, and he multiplied them 500 times. He says, Pi chamesh meis, by 500 times, I bounced that blessing, whatever God gave to me from my progeny, I bounced that back to the Jewish people times 500. And so he gave these two blessings over when God said to Moshe, I'll make you a great nation. Moshe Rabbeinu said, in turn, I take those blessings, I pass them right back on to the Jewish people. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu took whatever he got and he gave it back to us.
What was the two blessings? Is that not one blessing?
God wanted to destroy the Jewish people twice.
Twice.
Right? Once with the golden calf, and once was when we didn't want to go
into the land. So as a result, he got a blessing. So Moshe Rabbeinu
passes
times
on the blessings, and since Meruba Mida Toiva, a good goodness can be multiplied by 500 times. Okay. That's how we end up with 1,000. That's what the Panim Yafis says.
Okay,
right? He got two blessings, bounced them back, and turns out to be 1,000. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's cap is at 1,000 blessings. There's this interesting idea, which is brought down in the Dvarim Rabbah, in the Medrash, that says like this, that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yaakov, he said that Moshe Rabbeinu's blessings could be seen from one end of the world to the other. I don't know what that means, but that's what he says. And he says, what is the meaning of Elef Pa'amim, 1,000 times? He said, it doesn't say Elef Pa'am, it says Elef Pa'amim. So what's Elef Pa'amim, plural? He said, Elef Pa'amim is 1,000 thousands. And therefore, the Medrash Rabbah seems to indicate that Moshe blessed the Jewish people not 1,000-fold, but actually a millionfold. A millionfold. Okay, it's even nicer, but it's still limitations. And it's certainly not the Pshut Shel Mikra. The simple read is that we have Moshe Rabbeinu bestowing blessings of 1,000. Okay, so let's take a look at the words of the Arizal. This is the photocopies I made for you. It's all translated into English. It's in this book, Apples from the Orchard. I'm going to read to you in the Hebrew. Now, the Arizal himself did not write his own Torah. The Arizal himself taught Torah orally in less than 2 years. The whole Arizal is less than 2 years. He appeared on the scene. He gathered together all the mighty minds and sacred souls of Tzfat, taught them Torah for 2 years, and then he was called to his eternal reward. But his disciples recorded his teachings after posterity. They devoted the rest of their life to recording his teachings. So here we have something called Shara Psukim and something called Lekuta Torah. Very similar teachings, but nonetheless, you'll see, they vary. Both of these different disciples of the Arizal heard the Arizal's teachings and recorded them in their own way. So the Shara Psukim puts it simply, Ha'inyanu, the thing is, ki Moshe mem shin hey, mem is 40, shin is 300, and hey is 5, is bigamatria kale shin dalad yud. Shin dalad yud is the name of God that's found in the mezuzah, and kale is the name of God which represents kindness. So Moshe is the gematria of kale shin dalad yud. Kale shin dalad yud, we have an aleph and a lamed that gives us 1 plus 30, and then we have 300, which is shin, then we have a dal, which is 4, and a yud, which is 10. Well, you do the math, it ends up to be 435. Okay. So in the Likut HaTorah, it puts it a little differently. He says, Sarach Shateda, you have to know, Shemoshe, who soide bibriya, that Moshe's mystery is in the level of Bria. There's Atzilus, which is the first world of emanation, the world which is very, very close to the essence of divinity. And then the first world in which something begins to be created, this is the world of Bria. And Moshe Rabbeinu's mystery, he's able to so to speak, operate in Bria. Uvesoid Kael Shakai. And in this mystery, the secret, the power of the name Kael Shindal Yud. Why the name Kael Shindal Yud? What does that have to do with Bria? So the Likut HaTorah says, Shehem Shmois HaBria. Those two names of Hashem, they resonate in the world of Bria. And therefore, Va'olin Kaminyan Moshe. That's why their gematria is the same as Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu is able to muster from the level of divinity up to Bria, and that's where the name of God, Kael Shin Dal Yud, comes from. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the gematria of 345, operates in Bria. That's the energy, the light he's able to access and to channel. And that's the idea, the concept of Kael Shin Dal Yud.
Isn't that the name that Hashem told him at on Har Sinai through the burning bush?
There is names that Hashem uses to Moshe that sometimes represent Kael Shin Dal Yud. There are other names also. He also used the name Eke.
Okay.
But let's just talk about, like, this idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we talk about the mystery of it. It means Moshe Rabbeinu is able to operate or channel energy from a certain level. And then it's beyond his pay grade. So Atzilus cannot be actualized or brought into this world by a mortal, by Moshe Rabbeinu. But Bria, which is the second level, that could be. So Atzilus would be like in the metaphor of a person's functionality, subconsciousness. The subconscious is the person, we ourselves don't know our own subconsciousness. But we could operate to the first level of thought that I know what I'm thinking. I don't know what ultimately motivates me. I may not understand my own subconsciousness. Not only Freud couldn't get there, I can't get there myself. And there's something which is pre-consciousness. That's Atzilus. But then there's consciousness, the first level of consciousness, that's the level of Bria. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents that level of consciousness, the highest level of what we would call divine consciousness. So obviously it's a euphemism, God doesn't have consciousness per se, but this is the terminology we use. So now the Shaar HaPsukim says, Ubihiyosam Mileim Kazeh, when you write it out fully like this, Aleph Lamed Pei, right? And then Lamed Mem Dalet, Shin is written Shin Yud Nun, Dalet is written Dalet Lamed Tof, and Yud is written Yud Vav Dalet. Im HaKoylo, which then you will add in the gematria principles, you can use one extra for the word itself. Ya'alu b'gematria elef. That will give you the gematria of 1,000. In other words, Hebrew gematria can work in two ways. Either we can look at the letters Kael Shin Dalet Yud, and we can say, okay, Aleph Lamed, 1 and 30. Shin Dalet Yud, we can say that's 304 and 10. That's Kael Shin Dalet Yud, using an Aleph as 1, using Lamed as 30, and so on and so forth. Or sometimes we could have what's called a milui. Milui is how we write the letter out. In writing the letter out, for example, an aleph could be written aleph lamed pei to write the letter out, in which the gematria of aleph would jump from 1 to 111. Because aleph lamed pei is aleph is 1, lamed is 30, and pei is 80. So now aleph becomes 111. And lamed, which is lamed and dalet, well, Lamed Mem Dalet, pardon me, all of a sudden it goes from Lamed is 30, Mem is 40, Dalet is 4, goes now from 100, from the Lamed goes from 30 to 74. And so on and so forth. Shin, spelled out Shin, which is 300, Yud, which is 10, and then Nun, which is 50, will give you 360. So if you do the math, Aleph is 111, Lamed spelled out is 74, Shin spelled out is 360. You have it in the bottom. Here's a little chart over here. You can follow along. And then you have Dalet, which ends up being, instead of 4, 434. And Yud, spelled this way, there's different ways to spell it, but spelled this way, turns out to be 10, 6, and 4, which is 20. Add it all up, and you get 999. Im HaKoilel, one for the word itself, Kel Shakai, gives you 1,000. If you look in the Lakota Torah, he simply says, V'zeh kishet esmale kel shin dal yud elef. And this, when you add, when you fill out kel shin dal yud, gives you 1,000. So, let's reiterate this again. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to muster divine consciousness from what level, says the Arizal? From the world of Bria. The world of Bria represented by which names of God? Kael, the benevolence, God giving. Shin dal yud represents the idea of Gvura, how much God could give. It's the right and left. To the right and left, the giving, but at the same time, giving within a measured way, this is the world of Bria. The world of Bria, God gives, but in a restrained way, in a measured way, is Kael Shin Dal Yud. When you take Kael Shin Dal Yud, which is the world of Bria, and you spell it out fully, what do you end up with? 1,000. 1,000. So Moshe Rabbeinu is now channeling energy from the world of Bria. The world of Bria turns out to be how many lights or how many energies? The answer is 1,000. Now, the Shara Pesukim says, V'hi ha'alef shal bina. This 1,000 is the aleph of bina. Kisham him shnei shemis hanizker. Because there, it has, this is the two different names, and this is what's mentioned, beside aleph beis, aleph bina. So the Gemara in Shabbos, on page 104, tells this it's an amazing story, a narrative, that the rabbi said, of Reb Shua ben Levi, that he said, Tinoikas shel beis rabban, they came to Cheder, these children, and they're expounding the Torah in a way that hasn't been understood since the time of Joshua, since Yoshua ben Nun, who received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're expounding the Aleph Beis. They see the Aleph Beis, you know, like the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, as a message in and of itself. I said, really? What's a message? They said, they're saying Aleph Bina. Aleph comes from the Hebrew word of ulpan. What does ulpan mean?
Ulpan's like a study
place. A study group. Mm-hmm. Like a school. Like the Gemara ulpana, Beit ulpana is a school. So alefcha means to learn. So aleph beis is aleph, learn bina, learn understanding. And then they said, and what's gimel dalad? Goimel. Gimel should be vowelized as goimel. Goimel means like milas chasadim, dispensing, giving. Goimel, to give, to provide for dalim. Dalim, instead of dalid, dalim. What is dalim? The poor, the impoverished. And they went through the whole aleph beis like that. Fascinating Gemara, right? One could argue that Tilim Kuf Yotes, when you want to know the meaning of each letter, you go back to the era and you see the meaning of each letter. Each letter, each Hebrew letter becomes a representation of something. I don't know if that's necessarily correct or not, but it's very interesting that the Hebrew letters have representation and they work in tandem. Pairs of letters work in tandem in which there's a message. It's not just Hebrew alphabet, there's actually a message being conveyed. So here, the Shara Psukim says, Aleph Bina. Aleph Bina mean learning, understanding, can also be understood as Aleph is Elef. What's Elef?
1,000.
1,000. What was the words of Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Yosef Aleich Hashem Elikechem Elef Pa'amim. Elef is Aleph. So the Elef is 1,000. In other words, the Kael Shin Dalad Yud is also to be understood as the Elef, the learning of Bina. Which this works really nice because the world of Bina is also, the level of Bina is also, as we're going to see, this is the consciousness of the world of Bria. Chachma is Atzilus, that first flash of inspiration, that first flash of the epiphany. The epiphany comes out of nowhere. That comes from pre-consciousness. But Bina is when I develop it. I'm going to build. The Bina comes from the word Bona. And therefore, that's the world of Bria. Atzilus is where it all begins, the first flash. Hischilaheir, it says, that's when the first is some kind of light. But that light then is developed, and that's the world of Bria. So it turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu, who channels energy from divine consciousness, the consciousness of Bina, represents the concept of Bria and Bina. And about Bria and Bina, it says Aleph Bina, or Elef Bina. And here, the Likud HaTorah says, this is Besoid Elef Alofim Mori Tresend Alma. This is the secret, the mystery of 1,000,000, 1,000,000s, which now aligns it very nicely with the Medrash you just learned, 1,000,000 shield bearers of the world, of the first world. of the Alma Kadma Kiniska, which is mentioned in the Zohar.
Why are you referring to the Hebrew alphabet? I don't understand. Like, is it from the word Kel Shakai? Is that the reason you're looking at Aleph from that?
Yeah, because it says that we started off with the name of God, Kel Shin Dal Yod, starting off with the Aleph. So the Arizal says, the Aleph is also Eleph. And Eleph is?
A thousand.
But the channeling Bina, Aleph Bina. Aleph Bina means learn Bina, but it also means channel the thousand. There's a thousand energies of Bina. Bina is the world of Bria. That's the world that Moshe Rabbeinu can channel. So in the Zohar, it talks about the world of Bria as a world of a million shield bearers. What does this mean, a shield bearer? So if you talk about it in military terms, which oftentimes we have euphemistic things in the Zohar which don't make sense to us, where it uses like the terminology of troops, and terminology, the Medrash uses terminology of banners and battalions. But when it talks about the angels, it's all metaphor. It's not chas shalom literal. They don't have troops. They don't have shields. They don't have swords. They don't have arrows. All these things are metaphoric terms. So it says there's a million shield bearers in Bina. On a literal level, you could say that there's this battalion of a million soldiers or a whole army. Their job is to protect the shield, or the shield bearers. But really, what it means, if you think about it, a mugging, the concept of morei teresin means to limit, to restrain the light, to shield. Right? Because light is too intense, what happens? We're blinded by it. What do you need? You need to be shielded. Shemesh umogein havaya elikim. The name havaya, which represents revelation, and the name elikim, which represents that which limits, restrains, contains the energy of divine. That's in the name of elikim. Shemesh umogein. The sun and its shield. So a thousand shield bearers means that in Bria, the job of Bria is to shield or limit the light of the divine, because if the light of the divine would resonate in an open way, what would happen? We would cease to exist. We would be eclipsed, overwhelmed by its power, by its profundity. So it needs then to be shielded. So this is the world of Bria, says the Arizal, that in the world of Bria, there's this Aleph, there's this thousand, which we talked about, the gematria of a thousand. This is the same concept that the Zohar alludes to, is the world of Bria, as having a thousand shield bearers, which is the idea of Bina. Bina means to limit the light. Bina means when the person comes up with an idea, and the idea is his head is exploding, his ideas all over, he says, okay, calm down, let's take this idea and channel it, let's limit it, let's analyze it, let's understand it, before we just let it run amok. That's the concept then of the thousand shield bearers. Now going back to the Shara Pesukim, he says, "V'hinei koyche shel Moshe hayad ema." The power of Moshe was till the maternal level of divinity. Now the maternal level of divinity, this is the concept of Bina. Bina is mother. Chochma is father. That's why Bina and Bona, mother, or understanding and building, is the concept of the mother who can take the pregnancy and develop it. Just like person develops the idea. The idea, the epiphany is a seminal idea, it's called. It just seeds something. It just gets a process going. It's Bina, who is the process of gestation, who develops the idea and births the idea. The world of Bria represents exactly that. The thousand shields represents taking that idea and limiting it, but enabling it to develop, which is the concept also of nesting, as we're going to see. And this is the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu, his koyach, his power was till the feminine level of divinity, which is the level of divinity which receives and develops. That's the world of Bina. And therefore, says the Shara Pesukim, V'lachein berchem be'elef pamim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu blessed him 1,000 times. What did he really bless him with? 1,000 lights. Why did he give him 1,000 lights? Because that's all Moshe Rabbeinu can do. Moshe can muster 1,000 lights. Because Moshe is Bina. Because Moshe is Bria. Because Moshe is Kel Shin Dal Yud. Because Moshe is Aleph, Eleph, and all these things add up to 1,000.
So where is the Muggin? Where is the limitation?
The Muggin is in the world of Bria, the world of Moshe Rabbeinu is able to access, channel, and harness. So the concept of Bina is a shield.
Right.
And when the Zohar talks about 1,000 thousands, right, which fits with our 1,000 and fits with the Medrash's idea of the 1,000 thousands. Right, so you see, nothing to do with the Panim Yafis. The Panim Yafis comes up with 500 times. There's nothing to do with it. Maybe this could fit with the Baal Turim, with the 100 blessings. That maybe could fit. And now, the Shaar HaPsukim finishes off. V'zeh shekosov lohem. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote to them. Ad kan mishali. Till now is what I can bless you with. I can give you 1,000. Tam ve'elech. past 1,000. In other words, you want the blessings of Atzilus, I can't channel Atzilus. That's infinitude. That's already Yivarech Eschem, Kasha Dibra Lechem, that Bechinas Abba Iloa, that comes from the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father is a euphemism for God Himself, for Atzilus. Moshe says, I can channel Bria. I can't channel beyond Bria. I can only give you Bria. Here's what I can give you. In the words of the Lakuta Torah of the Arizal, Zehu, this is the meaning of the Soid of Ha'elef Elu, of these thousands. Sha'ani Noisin, that the thousands I'm giving you, Hey Mishali, this is my thousand. Kigamani Oila Kel Shindal Yud, I also add up to Kel Shindal Yud, Shehu Aleph, this is Aleph, that's a day of 1,000. Zehu Mishali. Moshe Rabbeinu gave everything that he had away. You know, there's a very interesting Gemara that says that the Jewish people, when they sinned with the golden calf, they lost the two crowns that they received. And the two crowns that they received represented 500 lights each. And it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there's different ways of understanding it. Some say it was actually taken from Moshe Rabbeinu himself and given back to him on Shabbos. And others say it was taken from the Jewish people and all given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kliyoker says, gives it to us on Shabbos. And this is the idea of Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelke, the Kliyoker says. Moshe Rabbeinu delights in his gift. His gift. What does he delight? Moshe Rabbeinu's toivayim. He's the one who gives everything away to us. So maybe this could be through the Arizal's teachings here. You could say maybe that's the meaning of the thousand lights. Maybe this is connected to the Moshe Rabbeinu giving everything he has. Moshe Rabbeinu gave everything away. If he had it, he gave it to you. He didn't hold anything back for himself. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu had, he shared.
So is the reason that it's accepted that he's associated with Kel Shekhayit because of the same gematria? That's the reason?
No, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kabbalistically speaking, is connected to the world of Bria.
Okay.
The world of Bria is connected to Kel Shindal Yud.
Okay.
The world of Bria, which connected to Kel Shindal Yud, is the concept of Bina. And Bina is Aleph Bina. Bina has 1,000 lights. Which is also seems to be connected to other details of Moshe Rabbeinu giving. You know that there's a teaching of the Medrash Shmuel and the Mishnah in the Shebecher and Zakkai. So he said, Becher and Zakkai said that im lomadata Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toivah la'atzmacha, don't give yourself credit.
Right.
That's literally what it means. So the Medrash Shmuel, who was a Talmud of the Arizal, he says like this: im lomadata Torah harbe, which harbe might be what we're talking about here. That's what the Malbim has this thing of harbe. That's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Marat, you learned a lot of Torah. Al tachzik tova, don't keep the goodness ba'atzmacha for yourself. If you have a lot of goodness, you have a lot of Torah, share with somebody else. And this is really how Moshe Rabbeinu was. Everything he had, he shared. You have a lot of Torah, you have good. Moshe Rabbeinu has 1,000 lights, 1,000 energies, gives it to the Jewish people. But then there's a bigger question that's not answered over here. And the bigger question is unanswered, so we still didn't answer. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu bother blessing the Jewish people? If ultimately Hashem's blessings are greater, so why Moshe Rabbeinu bother? All the Arizal did for us is explain to us why the blessing could only be 1,000.
Did he not see his B'nai Israel as his flock?
He did, but why did he have to bless them all together? Just the God's blessing. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, I give you a blessing, but this is the best I can do. God will bless you with the rest. So in that case, just let God bless him. So the Rebbe answers this question. Give me a Biur HaChumash, please. The Rebbe answers this question in a very, very interesting way. Very unusual way. So take a look in the Biur HaChumash, and this will conclude this morning's lesson. The Rebbe asks this exact question. He says, on page Chafei, Yesh Lishol, we could ask, Madua Amar Meisha has berchasei b'derech sheyesh bo kedei le'oyle des t'miyasin shol b'nei Yisrael. Why did Meisha b'nei have to bless him in a way which made them say, that's all we get? Moses, just 1,000? Come on, you're Moses. But God gave us endless blessings. And Moshe said, yeah, true. God did give you endless blessings. I can only give you this. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu right away should have said, I'm giving you a blessing. It's not my blessing. I can only give you 1,000. Forget what I can give. I'm not giving you my, I'm going to channel God's blessings to you. I'm just going to use God's blessings. It's not my blessing. I'm not blessing you. But God blessed you with such and such. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu first have to give us his blessing? And then if he gives his blessing, then the people go back and say, oh, Moshe, you're limiting? God gave it limitless and you're giving his limits? So Moshe says, no, I'm not giving you limits. I'm giving you what I could give you, and God gives you more. So the Rebbe suggests that the biur, the explanation to what's going on over here, is based on the words of Chazal in the Medrash Tilim in Psalm 116. that the Medrash Tilim says over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesavah L'Tfilas Shnasei Yisrael, that God yearns for the prayers of the Jewish people. God wants our prayers. In the language of the Pasuk, L'maisa Yodecha Tichsef. This is from a famous Pasuk in Iyov. Hashem yearns for our engagement, our involvement. So let me see what you do. Be part of this process. In other words, Kedei L'Kabel as B'chasi Ha'Biltim U'Belas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order for us to get the limitless blessings of God, what do we need to do?
Participate.
Ask for it. At least ask for it. Don't just wait for it to come. The participation can't come in a way. We can't create those blessings, but at least ask for it. At least show interest. You ask, then I'll respond. You know, sometimes a person wants to teach. He says, "No, ask me the question. Ask the question. What should I ask you? Ask me such and such. Okay, fine. Why this and this? Oh, you're asking it, and I'll give you the answer." God says, "No." So Moshe Rabbeinu's job was, what does it mean to Moshe Rabbeinu to bless us? Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to bless us, he wanted the Jewish people to ask for it. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu first gave them, it wasn't a joke, it's a real deal. Moshe gave them the max he could give, and he's hoping the Jewish people won't be satisfied. This is the one time Moshe Rabbeinu hoped the Jewish people would not say, "Oh, okay, that's very nice, 1,000. No, he said, "Now kvetch." It's like you kvetch your whole life. Now kvetch for real. Now you're supposed to kvetch. You say, "We don't want that, we want more than that." And then Moshe Rabbeinu is very happy. This is what he intended to do. This is the real blessing of a tzaddik. What does a tzaddik's blessing do for us? It brings out from within us our own potential. It helps us self-actualize and realize the power that we're able to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a blessing, and through that blessing, we in turn, so to speak, partner with God. Now we're able to ask God for the blessing. Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping when he blesses them, they'll respond in astonishment and say, "That's it? Ah," Moshe says, "I was hoping you would say that. Now that you're asking, so indeed, then you receive the blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a limitless way." And you know, it's really interesting that Mashiach has to come. But Hashem also says in Torah, we have to ask for the blessing. Mm-hmm. The Chafetz Chaim wrote that there's a mitzvah that you must pay your worker on the day. That's a mitzvah in the Torah, one of the mitzvahs. Right? If he did work during the day, you have all night to pay him. If you worked at night, you have all day to pay him. But there's one proviso. He has to ask. As that, so the Chafetz Chaim said, the Jewish people can't just expect Mashiach to come. They actually have to ask for Mashiach. And that's why Yidu Davins ask for Mashiach nearly 80 times a day. Most people don't ask for Mashiach even once, Nebuch. They're just saying words and davening. But if you actually daven and say Birch Zamazon, just the daily, if you're actually thinking what you're saying, you're actually asking for Mashiach. Because in order for us to get Mashiach, in order for us to get those limitless blessings, what we need to do is we need to ask for it. And this is what the Rebbe tried to do, to get us to ask. He said, "You're saying Ad Masai because I told you to say it. Don't say Ad Masai because I said you should say enough Golos. Say Ad Masai because you want to see the presence of God." And when we ask for it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly give it.